couple of weeks ago, if you remember, I was speaking about surviving tough times. We all go through tough times. There's no escape from that. Jesus, when he said, he didn't promise us we'll have a wonderful life. He said, you will go through trouble, but we've got to hang in there. We've got to stick firm and stand firm in these difficult and troubled times. And I think the three things I mentioned last time, the three things that will help you get through these difficult times, one is the Word of God is so important. So we need to stand firm in the Word of God. We need to persist in prayer. I'll mention prayer again later, but we need to pray. The Bible tells us to pray continuously in all our situations, so we need to keep praying. Don't give up. Don't think, oh, it's not happened. It's not. Keep praying. Keep praying in all these things. And stay in the faith. Don't lose faith. We're warned that in days to come, now, and that people will fall away from the faith. We need to stand strong in the faith, because we need to make sure that we know God is God. And he's in control, he's in charge, and we've committed our lives to him. And one of the scriptures I read was, it's in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. And if you've got your Bibles, or if it comes up on there, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5, it talks about godlessness in the last days. And it's quite a bleak picture. Unfortunately, we can see it now. It's happening now. In the Gospels, it talks about signs of the end of the age, which are quite dramatic. But this is much more personal. This is what people will be like, people around us. And we see this now in society today. You probably witnessed it yourself. But it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then the Apostle Paul says, have nothing to do with them. Now, it doesn't mean we don't reach out into the world, but we can't let the world influence us, because we're set apart from that. We're called to be set apart. Have nothing to do with them. And I was reading recently an article by a gentleman by the name of David Walker. Now, I know Leslie's heard him speak, and I think one or two others have heard him speak. He's a minister from Las Vegas, of all places, which I've never been to Las Vegas, but I get images that I think, actually, perhaps some of those descriptions we've just read are prevalent in Las Vegas. I don't know. But he's a wonderful fellow. He's quite elderly now. He doesn't look it. He's about 70. He had a heart attack, but survived it. Anybody else it would have killed, because he's super fit. He does lots of cycling. And he's a wonderful speaker. He's a member of the Ministers Fellowship Global, MFG. And he gives a really, really good word. He doesn't do anything flash. He just tells you the word of God. And I was reading this article by him, and it was called, what was it called? I've lost the title. Survival Kit for Troubled Times. And I'll condense it down a bit, but essentially, he said, when we come across difficulties, lots and lots of difficulties, there are five things that we can do to make sure. Now, those five things, I summarise and call them, I put the letter P in front of all of them, so it's the five P's. So it's five P's, not five P piece, but five P's, okay? And the first thing we need to know is, if we want to survive in this day and generation that is getting more and more, and it says lovers of money, lovers of boastful, proud, abusive, in this day and generation where more and that is seen more and more, we need to have a purpose. We can't just drift through it. We need to have a purpose. We need to have a purpose, an aim, something to live for, a goal, a target, a vision, whatever you want to call it. And I'm reminded that in 2 Timothy 1, where a lot of our scriptures are coming from 2 Timothy today. We started with that. So if you keep 2 Timothy open, we'll jump back to it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Okay? That, essentially, we need to stand strong, but then it tells us we've got to do something else. It says, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable, I think some version says faithful, men who will also be qualified to teach others. We've got to entrust to other people what we know. Right? We've got to entrust. And the things we know, in this case, it's the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who's a young, up-and-coming leader in the church. He's still quite young. So a lot of people think, he's too young to be... and we have this tendency sometimes, just because people are young, we ignore them. We don't have to, because he truly was touched by the Spirit. But he says to Timothy, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, pass it on. Entrust it to other people who are reliable, who are faithful, who will also then be qualified to teach others. It's like a snowball effect. What we need to do is pass it on to somebody else. Pass it on to somebody else. But not just one, pass it on to two or three, and they pass it on to two or three. And by simple mathematics, you're going to get an explosion. Right? You're going to get, if you multiply 1 times 2, 2 times 2, 4 times 4, and so on, you can see the principle. It explodes. We need to pass it on. And that's one of the main purposes. We need to pass on the gospel. Right? We need to pass it on for others who are trusted and reliable, who will also pass it on. Okay? I think the phrase in the book, the subtitle, it says, a workman approved by God. That's what we need to be. A workman approved by God. And then staying in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, it says, I give you this charge. Now, a charge is an order or a command. Do this. Right? It's quite simple. And he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing, his second coming, right, and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Now, this is the charge, the command, the order. And it's very simple. Give you this charge, capital letters, preach the word. Preach the word. The word of God. Preach the word in all situations. It says, preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Preach the word. And that's what we're charged to do. Preach the word, pass it on. Whatever our situations, whatever our trials, whatever our troubles, pass it on. Because the world will come in and try and divert and prevent us. Yeah, Satan will try and come and take that purpose away from us. And the more we get closer, the more we'll get diverted, the more we'll get attacked. So be careful. We need to stick to the purpose that God has called us to, each of us to. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That's what God wants for each one of us. That's his plan. He doesn't want us to struggle. He's got plans to give us a hope and a future, and we have that through what Jesus has already done. Okay. So that first P is that purpose. We need a purpose in life. Now, it's up to us to a certain extent how we define that purpose, but the purpose is there. It's quite a broad purpose. Pass on the gospel. Pass it on. Whoever we see, we are witnesses to wherever we go. The second P is principles. What principles do you live by? Are you a highly principled person or not highly principled? It doesn't matter. There are some principles we need to live by. And I love this verse. In fact, it's written in the front of my Bible in pen by my in-laws, who on the day I was baptized here, on the 17th of January 1993, and it's 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Again, famous scriptures. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to hold on to Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed, but then we need to use it. And it says it is useful for teaching, if needed, for rebuking and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that everybody, the man of God, all those that call on the name of the Lord, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Okay? It's our weapon that we fight with, the Word of God. It's our weapon that protects us. And even when we're pressured by the world, we need to live by biblical principles. Right? And it's a manual for us. It's a manual to live by. I'm not touching that today. But we need to meditate on the Word, and it will reveal how we are called to live, what we need. It will reveal the way. Right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we need to make sure we absorb that into our hearts. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we can imitate Jesus, we'll be in the right direction. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. It is. When the world's in darkness, it's a lamp. It will guide us in the right direction. So in terms of principles, stick to Scripture. You will not go wrong. You will not go wrong. Okay. Purpose, principle. Third P is plan. Now, if we wander about aimlessly, and the Bible describes it as being tossed back and forth, we're going to get nowhere. So we need to have a plan. Now, some people are very rigorous in the way they plan the things they do. They like to have a schedule, a timetable, and that's fine. Some people are less, a bit more chilled, a bit more relaxed. Again, that's fine. As long as we do have a plan to follow and not just go backwards and forwards and get tossed around by what the world throws at us. We need to have a plan. And we need this plan, the Bible. Yeah. Don't follow what the world's doing. Don't bow to the pressure of what our culture throws at us. And when we see things on the news, you think, that's not right. Don't just accept it. When laws change that we know aren't right, they're not God's laws, we think, no, that's not right. We need to stand against it. Now, it doesn't mean we have to go and barrack in front of Parliament. We need to stand where we are in our culture, in our society. We need to stand for the Word of God. So if something's not right, we don't let it pass. We need to stand up for it. We need to be in the right place at the right time. Staying in 2 Timothy, going back to chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it talks about, it's the Apostle Paul speaking to this young Timothy. He says, young Timothy, not that one. Sorry. Just realise he's crawling at the back here. Yeah. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern or plan of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit. That's the plan we have. It's a deposit. It's been given to us. We have a plan. This plan, but also the plan that other people have planted in our hearts. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it not in our own strength, because we will fail, I'm afraid. Even though we do our best. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That Holy Spirit that Jesus promised after his ascension back into heaven. We're getting close to the day of Pentecost, or Pentecost Sunday. But that Holy Spirit helps us to stick to the plan. Right? It guides us. Holy Spirit will guide us. He will counsel us. He will help us. He will equip us to that plan. The plan is to pass on the faith. Pass on the faith. Live righteously. Pass on the faith. Okay. Love Jesus. Don't depart from that. And then there's a quote from David Walker. He said, preaching the gospel still carries the power for salvation. Right? So if you don't write anything else, you haven't write that. Preaching the gospel still carries the power of salvation. If we preach the gospel, people will be saved. If they don't hear it, they won't. We need to hear it. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. So we need to carry on in that strength and continue with that plan. That's our plan, our basic plan. Now, we can't do it on our own, so we need The fourth P, which is power. We need power. We need strength. We need power. And that power comes from many sources. Holy Spirit, I've already mentioned. But we need more than that. We need that attitude that we're not going to give in. The power to persevere. The power to persist. And we need the power of prayer. All those are power. Power of prayer, power to persist, power to persevere. And again, stay in this. It's this particular book in the Bible, 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy, is advice from the Apostle Paul, who was chained up at the time. He was in prison. To Timothy, encouraging him. And this is a word of encouragement. May not sound like it yet, but it's a word of encouragement. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:11. We've already mentioned it before. He says, 10 and 11. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. No, we haven't done it yet, sorry. So, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. So Paul's been really battered. He's been beaten. He's been stoned. He's been thrown into prison. He's been shackled. And he's in prison writing this right now. But despite all of that, he says, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. He hasn't lost his faith. He hasn't lost it. Even though he's in prison at this moment in time when he was writing it. And it's that power to persist throughout all our problems, throughout all our trials. And they're all different. Sometimes we have small problems. Sometimes we have massive problems. Sometimes we have small problems that we think are massive problems. I'm sure the devil turns molehills into mountains. Right? And sometimes we've got really big problems. But, as the Apostle Paul says there, the Lord rescues us from all of those. Right? We've just been singing that. He's the Saviour of the world. He rescued us from the world. He's rescued the world. And we have to be strong in that. Now, it's not easy being strong and standing your ground. And for Timothy, it wasn't. So the encouragement Paul gave him is famous. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. He says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, because Timothy was a timid person. Right? And I know quite a few of us are timid people. We'd rather not stand up in front of the crowd. We'd rather not speak. We'd rather not do things. But we can go beyond that because we've got this power. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love and self-discipline. It carries on. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Right? Or ashamed of me as prisoner, but do not be ashamed of it. So even when things go against us, when the world goes against us, when the world confronts you, have confidence. Because the Lord who rescued Paul will rescue you. Right? He said it, he will do it. We'll come on to that later on. When God gives a promise, it stands forever. It stands forever. Okay. And the fifth P is quite a big one. And it's what I want to concentrate on a bit more. It's all about people. Now, we are influenced by lots of people in our lives. I think I mentioned the other week, I heard at the last sort of MFG conference we went to, Paul Cooper has been here and preached to us and sung for us many a time. Where he got his facts and figures from, I don't know. But he said that on average we influence 10,000 people in our lifetime. Some it's a very small influence. I know it's frightening, isn't it? 10,000. Yeah. And some it's a big influence. But we do influence. But even if it's a smile and a hello. Paul and I were walking down the street yesterday. And as people go past, we say hello. Now, that may just be enough to brighten somebody's life up. We don't know. But it's a tiny influence. Okay, and sometimes they respond. And it changes your attitude. Yeah? So just by something, a tiny influence. But we influence lots of people all the time. But we're also influenced by lots of people. We are influenced by... It's amazing how people influence us. And in order to be in the right place with the right people, we need to be with people we trust, who are reliable, who are full of faith. And we're able to learn from them. They're able to build us up, to edify us and encourage us. And that famous phrase in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. Right? If you're with people who are going to build your faith up, it's like iron sharpening iron. So it's similar faiths will encourage each other. Right? The iron gets sharper and sharper. It becomes more effective. It's stronger. 2 Timothy. Again, it's a word of encouragement to him from the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." You know those from whom you've learned it. Okay. "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, I've read those scriptures many a time before, but I've only recently had that revelation. Oh, that's awesome. Right? What we've learned from the Bible, but also what we've learned from other people who are strong in the faith. Right? Even when we were little, I can remember things when I was little from scriptures, from when I was at school. I remember Bible stories from school. They've sunk in, I've learned them. And then it says, it makes us wise for salvation. That's our own salvation, but also other people's salvation. It makes us wise. It gives us the wisdom, gives us that ability through faith in Christ Jesus. We can pass it on. We can pass on that wisdom of salvation. And if we continue in what we've learned. Now, I was thinking, well, what have I learned from people I know? Yeah, or particularly from people I trust. Because if it's somebody you don't know that well, if you don't trust, then you have to be a bit careful what you're absorbing. Because some people, as we've already read about this godlessness in the last days, some people aren't quite so nice. But if you think about it, I learned from people, I learned about God. I knew a bit before, but it's when people were standing up here preaching to me, I learned more and more and more. I absorbed it. I learned about God. I learned about Jesus, obviously. I learned about the Holy Spirit. I learned about godly lives, faithfulness, holiness, righteousness, how to live, living as light, being salt and light, being ministers, being ambassadors, being saved by Jesus, ultimately, is the atoning sacrifice. And it will carry on. Praise the Lord. It will carry on. We don't stop. We continue in it. Okay. Just knowing that Jesus is the gift of God and gives us eternal life, that's the big thing. That's the big thing. But I heard it from people who were reliable, trustworthy, who I had a relationship with. And the thing I will always encourage you to do, if you hear somebody speaking, brilliant. Listen to sermons, listen to CDs. It's everywhere now. You can pick up Word of God on media, on radio, TV. It's available anywhere. But always back it up with this. Always back it. If it's not in here, then treat it with some reservation. But if it's in there and it's backed up, brilliant. Right? Check it out in the Bible. Don't take people's word for it. Even if you do trust them, it doesn't mean you're diminishing their trust, your trust in them. It means that actually they're confirming the word of God, which is good. But we're witnesses to each other. Right? I'm just looking at this room now. You are witnesses to me as much as I'm a witness to you. Very much so. Timothy had confidence in the word of God, but he also got confidence. He'd learned it from people he trusted. He'd learned it first of all from his grandmother, then his mother, and we learn from our friends, our colleagues, our family, from pastors who speak to us, from preachers who speak to us. And for Timothy, it was the words of the Apostle Paul, which we can read also. So it was meant for Timothy, but we can read it. Right? We can read that strong advice. And the question is, who influences you? Who are the people that influence you? The Apostle Paul was a powerful witness to Timothy. The whole of Paul's life, which Timothy had seen a lot of it, and the fruit of the word of God in Paul's life, witnessed to Timothy. And it's the same for us. Right, same for us. Pastor Paul Hodgson, when I first came to the church, he was the one here. He influenced me more than anybody else in terms of my spiritual growth. And it's wonderful. I trusted him and I learnt from him. But more recently, there's other fellow preachers, fellow ministers in MFG, Colin and Sue. Colin lovely man. He'll be the first to say, don't take my word for it, stick to the scripture. Okay. And others that have been visiting us, Ken and Val over at Brandon, Johnny and Wendy Skinner. Johnny's coming in about a month's time, 17th. Yeah, so he'll be here, he'll be bringing the word. But again, he'll say, check it out in here. Whatever he says, if it's not in there, he says, treat it with reservation. But more importantly, we're influenced by the people we know really well. Right? Biggest influence in my life is Leslie. Yeah. Don't say ah. It was nice, I agree. It was nice. But she is. But also, just look at, you all influenced me. Paul influenced me, CEO influenced me, Nikki influenced me, Elizabeth, Stella, all of you. You all influenced me in some way, and hopefully I influence you as well. But the more we know people, truly know them, the more we trust in them, the more we see the fruit of their lives, the more they influence and witness to us. It is just the same here, but it does come with a government health warning. Right? None of us is perfect. We'll get it wrong. And we've got to be careful. Don't think everybody's perfect, because we're not. Right? And when we do get it wrong, don't take offence. Got to overlook them. Right? Overlook them. So be careful. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:10, if we go back to that. He says to Timothy, you, however, you know all about my teaching. You know all about my way of life. You know all about my purpose. You know all about my faith. You know all about my patience. You know all about my love, all about my endurance, all about my persecutions and sufferings. He knows everything about him. And the question is, he knows him so well because he's been with him through all these things. He's grown up, he's been taught through scriptures, through his grandmother, his mother, but also the apostle, and he's seen Paul in action. He trusts him. He's seen him go through difficult times, and Paul's still saying, but the Lord has rescued me from all of this. So we need to deepen our relationship with other believers. Right? It's good to know people out in the world, but we need especially to be influenced by people who believe. Right? And it will strengthen our faith, it will keep us secure, and it will witness to each other. We witness to each other just as much. So the question is, do you know the people you share your faith with? We know God's word. We know the truth. We know Jesus is the truth, the way and the life. We know the right way to live, because it tells us rules for holy living. It's a manual for us there. But do we know the people speaking to us? Do we know the people serving to us, ministering to us, and teaching the word? I encourage you to know each other more. Okay? Do you know what makes us tick? Do you know what makes me tick? Do I know what makes you tick? The answer is probably no. Right? Because we tend to be in our little shells. Right? But we need to break out of that and trust each other. We need to break out and know our conduct, our behaviour, our aims, our purpose in life. Then the influence will be a good influence. It'll be a stronger influence. It'll be for the good. If we know people's faith, if we know people's patience, if we know their love, if we know that they're not going to give in, if they're steadfast in what they do, then we have confidence in what they say, what they do, which is perhaps more important. What they profess and what they do is a good influence on us. And again, this is another quote from David Walker. He says, we need to know and be known by those we walk with. Right? We need to know and be known by those we walk with. Because if we don't know people, we're not quite sure. And that's the same, it's true here, any church, it's the same. We need to know and be known by those we walk with. And difficult times will come, or have come. Some of you are going through difficult times now, some of you are going through good times now, some of you are going through a mixture. Some have got small problems, big problems. It will happen. We're not saved from those. But we need to stand firm and strong in God's word, to believe in Jesus, to call upon his name, right? And not, the big not, is not fall away. Right? Jesus said that the love of most will grow cold, which is quite frightening. The love of most will grow cold, but not fall away. And we will see the power of God, the eternal glory of God, raised to life through Jesus Christ. That's us, raised to life through Jesus Christ. So for now, what we need to do is ensure that these five P's are established in place. Okay, purpose, we need to live for God and his will and purpose so we can pass on the gospel. We need to live by principles. Our principles need to be right. We need to live by principles that are in the Bible, not worldly principles. We need to fix our eyes on heavenly things, not earthly things. We need a plan. Right? Our plan is the Word of God plan. Okay. We need power, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And we need to pray into these situations. The power of prayer is very strong. Right? And people, the big P, we can do something about right now. Surround yourself by people and be influenced by people who are solid. Solid, they know, they walk with God. When we walk together, we make things easier. If we walk alone, we're fighting, we're constantly on our own. It's a battle. We can strengthen each other, we can encourage each other, we can pray for each other, we can encourage and lift each other up. Ecclesiastes 4, that famous verse where it talks about two are better than one. And if one falls down, the other one can lift them up. If you're on your own and you fall down, you can't. But if you've got somebody with you, they can lift you up. If it's cold, one person, it just gets cold. But if there's two of you, you can keep each other warm. We've been in a tent many a time. Keep each other... Leslie really dislikes the cold. And there's sometimes in these tents, sub-zero temperatures, she's really cold. But with two of us, slightly better. Yeah, slightly better. Slightly better. But with a dog, she makes a difference. She's like a little radiator. Yeah, a little radiator. Yeah. I'm not saying I prefer the dog. No, I won't say that. That's right. Okay. So we need, and then it finishes with that. A three-chord strand is not quickly broken. We're stronger together, and it applies to our faith. We're stronger together. We can encourage, we can edify each other. We need to walk together, walk with people we know, we trust, walk with people in faith and in love. But the Bible does warn us quite strongly not to associate with people who are a bad influence. Right? So we have to be very careful because we've got to stay blameless. God wants us to be a holy and blameless people. Psalm 101 verse 2 says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. That's what we've got to try and do. Right? And in verse 4 of that same psalm, it says, men of perverse, which is the opposite of blameless, crooked, twisted, men of perverse heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with evil. We're called not to have anything to do with evil. But it's not easy. In this day, in this age where the media is everywhere, on our screens, on our phones, it's so easy to be influenced by things. And some of it is not good. So we've got to be very careful to stay away from it. Only try and stay blameless. Try and not have anything to do with evil. And what I want to close with is what I call covenant relationships. We need to develop covenant relationships. Now, we've got one between us here and now, even if you don't know about it. We have a covenant relationship because we're all here in this church at this moment in time, and we're all believers in God. Right? So we've got a covenant relationship. Now, a covenant is fairly simple. It's an agreement. Can be a promise, but it's agreement. It can be voluntary, or it can be a bit more formal. It can be a signed agreement, a wedding certificate. We sign a wedding certificate. That's a formal covenant where you sign it, marriage vows, and you sign it. But there's less formal ones as well. We have a less formal one here because we know each other, and we know what each other is, and we know how we behave, and we agree to that almost. It's almost an unwritten rule because we love each other that we're going to treat each other with love. Right? We don't need to have are you going to look after me? I'll look after you. We don't need to do that because we'll do it. It's an unwritten agreement. And unfortunately, in the world, they break covenants. Not everybody, but we in the church and we as Christians, we need to keep these covenants and be seen to do so. But the world breaks covenants. The divorce rate in Britain, 50-something%, more than half. That means that more than 50% of the population are breaking covenants. But it's also not just marriages, it's families, it's with friendship. But we see it in governments as well. Governments break up from each other, make promises, then they break away. We see it between nations. But God makes covenants, has made covenants, and we're living in his covenant right now. And God doesn't break his covenants. He made covenants with Noah when he flooded the earth, and then afterwards he said to Noah, I won't do that again. I will never flood the earth again. And the rainbow, he said, is the sign. So whenever we see a rainbow, that's the promise that God made to Noah. I'm not going to flood the earth again. Even though he was tempted, I must admit. Even though he was tempted to wipe people away out from the face of the earth, he didn't do it. He made covenants with Abraham. He said to Abraham, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, grains of sand on the seashore. And they did. They became as numerous as that. They started off with Abraham and his family, and it grew. And eventually, after they'd been went to Egypt and became slaves in Egypt and then came back to the promised land, they grew and grew and grew until there were thousands, millions of them. And now we're part of that now, because we're adopted into that family. So we're part of that. So he made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with David. With David, he said, one of your descendants will be on the throne forever. And he is. Jesus is on the throne forever. And that's it. That's his promise. And when he makes a promise, that's it. It's done. It's finished. So now, sometimes some of God's promises are conditional. Right? I'm always reminded of a Disney cartoon, Hercules, and those two little people who are helping Hades. Yeah, and one of them says, "If he finds out," and they look at each other and they say, "If he's good," yeah. So if somebody finds out, then they'll do something. But if he doesn't find out, then okay. So if he's good. But sometimes God says, if you do this. And one of the most famous if covenants is in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now that covenant still stands today. If we turn, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, if he will hear us and he will forgive our sin and he will heal us. Now our sins are forgiven through what Jesus has done. We just have to accept that. And we need to admit we're sinners and call upon his name. But some of God's promises are unconditional. When God says, I will do this. He's granted it. It's a royal decree. This is what will happen. But we still have our part to play in that. We still have our part to play. When he made a covenant with Noah, Abraham, David, he said, I will do this. I will do this. I will make your descendants. You will have somebody on the throne forever. You will. I will never flood the earth. He said, that happens, and it will happen. But perhaps the most important covenant is the covenant. Is the covenant we're in now. We are now in the new covenant. The new covenant that God proclaimed. Jeremiah 31:31 talks about this new covenant. It says, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. And in verse 34, it says, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Now that's what Jesus has done for us. He's taken our sins away. By his work on the cross, he's taken our sins. And so this new covenant that is now, we're living in this covenant now, is the covenant of Jesus' blood. In a moment we'll take communion, and that's when we remember that new covenant. In Luke 22:20, it talks about the covenant of Jesus. He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 11 Verse 25, it talks about the new covenant in my blood. And in 2 Corinthians 3:6, he says, he has made us, that's us, right, competent as ministers of the new covenant. We're ministers of the new covenant. That's one of our purposes. That's one of the P's we are. That's one of our purposes. We are ministers of that new covenant. And Hebrews 12:24 says that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. It all goes through him. The mediator is where all the things go through them, like a mediator in talks, he's the one who he goes through them. And it all goes through Jesus. It's all done because of what Jesus has done for us. So this covenant, agreement, promise to maintain relationship is what we have. We have a covenant now. We're believers. We have a covenant. We know how we behave towards each other. And it comes in two dimensions. Now, the world hasn't got this. The world has friendships and relationships. They have possibly have covenants between each other. And we have that as well. But we've also got an extra dimension. That's a covenant between ourselves and God. We have a covenant, that new covenant between God and us. It's a two-way thing. We have covenant relationships between each other. But we have a covenant relationship between God and ourselves. One's a vertical, God and people. The other one's horizontal, between people. And for us, as I say, we've got these two relationships. And it's stronger. Two dimensions is stronger than one. Right? The world doesn't have that. They only have the horizontal. Now, through the vertical between us and God, it's fairly simple. If we live for God's purpose, if we praise him, worship him, walk in obedience to him and his ways, he's already done his bit. He's gifted us salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what he's done. His job's done. His part is finished. We have to join in and follow suit. We have to go to him. His grace, his mercy, his salvation. We need to follow his ways. And that tells it the plan's there. It's in the word. The plan is there. We need to follow his ways. Horizontally, between each other, this is a whole preaching in its own right, so I'm only going to touch on this. We're called to walk together in love. That's all we're called to. Jesus said to us, love each other. That's all we have to do. Okay? He said we've got to love your neighbour as yourself, but between believers, he says, love each other. That's all we have to do. And for this horizontal relationship, we need to fulfil those one another scriptures. I haven't counted them, but there's lots. Right? We're called to love one another, encourage one another, build each other up, show hospitality to each other, instruct one another, serve one another, have fellowship with one another, be kind to each other, live in peace with each other, be patient with each other. It goes on. But you get the idea. It goes on. And at the end of it, what sprang to mind, why do we need all this encouraging, strengthening, looking after each other? Because we need to keep ourselves safe and pure and in the right place. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 40, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, declared to the people, he said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. That's one of the verses on the front of this month's program. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And that's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is partly to save ourselves from this corrupt generation. It's also to pass on the gospel, but we need to save ourselves and look after ourselves. We need to stand firm individually, but also we need to watch over each other and walk together in this world of trouble. It is a world of trouble. Some it's personal trouble, some it's global, but we need to stand firm. And I think the phrase from 2 weeks ago is we need to station ourselves on the word of God and the covenant of God, just like that Shammah in the field. He stood there in a field full of lentils against the whole of the Philistine army, and he stood there because God said, this is your land. And he stood against the whole Philistine army, one person, and the Lord brought about the victory. Not him, the Lord brought about the victory. And that's what Paul was saying. He said that the Lord rescues me through all this. The Lord rescues me. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. The Lord rescued me from all of them. And what I would like to do to close with is for us to take communion. So if Paul and Theo would, if you could serve them out, but keep hold of the bread and wine, and only take this if you know Jesus is your Lord and Saviour. If you haven't made that commitment yet, don't take it. Don't take it, because the Bible warns us that if we take it in the wrong attitude, then it's not right. We need to be careful of that. But this is the new covenant that God promised. And if you've got your Bibles, as Paul and Theo, if you could take them around, yes, please. If you turn to Luke chapter 22, and in verses 15 to 20, this is what Jesus said to the disciples as they were about to take the Passover meal. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So it's the blood of Jesus that is that promise, that agreement, that new covenant. And it's when we recognize that his body was broken, that his blood was poured out for us, that we can be part of that promise, that agreement. And so what I'd like us to do, we're going to play, Leslie's found a song called, what's it called, Leslie? Behold the Lamb. Oh, thank you. And it's a lovely song. It's also, it's got a subheading, which is the communion song. Yeah. So what I'd encourage you to do is just look at the words as they come up on the screen and listen to the song. And then during that, just commit yourselves to the body of Jesus, which is broken for us, and the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us. And that is the promise he's given us. And we need to stand in that promise and stand strong. So please take it as you feel fit during that. Then I'll come back in a bit. Thank you, Lord. That bonds of peace, speaking, that's that covenant. That bonds of peace, it binds us together. I'd just like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your Son. Your Son, thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son, and that whoever believes in him can be washed clean by his blood, by his atoning sacrifice. Our sins can be forgiven when we humble ourselves, when we admit we're sinners, when we believe in his name, and when we call, when we confess he is Lord. And if you've not already done that, now is the time. Now is the time. Call on his name, and that new covenant avails for you. Our sins are forgiven, and we are redeemed by Jesus' work on the cross. And now, Holy Spirit, we ask, equip us, we pray, to be the people, be the church the Father wants us to be. Standing firm in our community and in our families to be witnesses of Jesus. Help us to build these covenant relationships with each other and with you, Lord, so that we can be, truly can be, ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Jesus, while we live here in this day and this generation. Lord, we just want to thank you again for your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.